Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, our salvation. Our sermon text for today is found in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text, which is the gospel also. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We ask that you set us apart from this dying world, that you give us eternal life through the bread of life, that you preserve our lives forever to heaven and to that bright eternity that Jesus won for us. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, there are plenty of things that make life difficult, but there are just two things that destroy earthly human life: death and sin. There are plenty of things that we want in life, but there's only one thing that's needful, and that is hearing the word of God. And not just allowing his words to brush past us as though they were incidental, but really hearing what he says. Because what he says is more than just words. Some people object. How do we know that the Christian God is the only God? Well, if you want to know something about a being who is outside of the universe, who created all things, well, the only way that you can know about that is for he himself to tell you. That's what the Bible is for. Some object. What kind of God would... You can fill in the blank there. A patient God. That's who. And yet all this said, it is not I who can convince you, nor are you or I even capable of understanding him. Only the true God can bring himself to you in such a way that you can know him and grasp who he is. Only the true God can do that. And yet, even when he has done this for us through his word, we still cannot hope to fit him into the box of our understanding. It's truly an amazing thing that the Lord has given us the capability of fitting all that we know between our two ears. But he is much greater than anything that we can imagine. He's so different from a human being. And yet he entered into our humanity to become a man among us, born of Mary, to the family of Joseph, 2,000 years ago. He's timeless, and yet for a time he came into our world. He's infinite and yet finite. He fills all things, and yet is that little baby born in Bethlehem. He's powerful and weak, able to raise the dead with a word, and yet he laid down his life willingly at Calvary. Great and small, King of kings, Lord of lords, and yet servant of all, rich and yet poor, all things belong to him, and yet he did not have a place to lay his head. So that even though we cannot comprehend him, he knows us better than we even know ourselves. He sympathizes with us. He truly knows our fears, our sadness, our troubles, the scars of sin, and the pain of death. And he would speak to you today. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said. God himself in the flesh speaks. Truly, truly, I say to you, hear him out. For goodness sake, he has something he wants to tell you so that you can know him and know what his heart is toward you. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, bread was the staple food in Old Testament Israel. They understood that their daily bread was from God, a gift from above. But Jesus said, I am the bread. A little bit more insightful translation there would have said, I am is the bread. In these words, Jesus spoke a truly amazing truth that he is God. He is the great I am, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God who brought the people of Israel out of their slavery, the God who created the world. And so that no one would miss what he was saying there, he said, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In these sentences, Jesus proclaims to us that he is the one true God, and yet he is a human being who will give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He's claiming to be the Messiah here. And that's a striking claim. He was claiming to be the Savior of the world. But even more striking, he was claiming to be the great God of all eternity. Truly, truly, I say to you, God is talking to those who will hear him. Do you hear him? Those who heard undoubtedly rejected his claim in their minds, for the sinful mind, the mind that we all have by nature, cannot believe, cannot follow the way, give assent to the truth, or live. Even when he who is the way and the truth and the life is speaking directly. Some who heard him that day objected. They deflected the true meaning of Jesus' words. Their minds went to that event that happened in the Old Testament when the Israelites received bread from heaven, the manna, as they wandered in the desert. For 20 centuries now, those who hear Jesus claim to be God, our Savior, have been finding ways to deflect from the plain meaning, unable, unwilling to accept this simple truth. Some imagine that God is only a human being, that Jesus is only a human being. Some imagine that God only appears to be human. Some imagine that Jesus is a human being who just rose up through the ranks and became great somehow that way. Some people think of Jesus as a religious charlatan. But you, Listen to what Jesus says for himself. He is the great I am, who has entered into our human race, entered into time and space, to have a human life, a perfect human life, untouched by sin, so that he could give that life as the ransom price for us all, one for many. God is revealing his heart to us today in these words. Apart from God telling us these things, we wouldn't dream it up in our wildest imaginations. God is revealing to us that he is deadly serious about sin, that it is a big deal. What he declares good and right is good and right, and that is what he desires. And what he declares wicked and evil, well, that is wicked and evil. And he damns such to eternal death. He will never show love to those who cling to moral deficiency or wanton evil. God requires perfection. And yet God at the same time has this overwhelming, infinite, perfect love. And he is so kind. His love compelled him to find a solution to all of this. And so he took upon himself the wrath and anger over sin. He became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness that God seeks and approves. When Jesus died, it wasn't a random thing, nor was it by the will of the Romans or the Jews. Jesus laid down his life for us by his own authority. And by his own authority, he took it up again because he's God. He found the way, fellow redeemed. He found the only way to save us from our sins and from a well-deserved death. He took our place. He died in our place on that cross, the righteous one for the unrighteous. And he rose from the dead for us. So that when he is in us and we are in him, we too rise from death to eternal life. So how is it that we are in him and he is in us? I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Jesus was telling them that filling up on earthly bread, even the bread that appeared each night for the Israelites that was from God himself, it's just a temporary thing. Nothing created can escape the corruption and decay that has descended upon all of God's creation when sin entered this world. But Jesus came from heaven, untouched. God himself, the great creator, enters into creation to be bread, to be sustenance for us. I don't know if you've noticed, babies and toddlers seem to have this idea that they can somehow receive their nourishment through their chins. They take the food and they smear it all over themselves. But it does no good. Let us not be babies and toddlers when it comes to receiving Christ. He has ordained that we should receive him primarily through his word, whether it's spoken or whether it's with the elements of water or bread and wine. For Christ to be in us, we are to hear him. That's why Jesus again and again says, he who has ears, let him hear. There is no life apart from God's word. There's no life apart from what the scriptures say. And for us to be in Christ means that we are to be a part of his body. There's no such thing as a disembodied Christianity somehow apart from this gathering, the gathering of Christ's body to hear his word and to receive his sacraments. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Notice that he says anyone there. Truly, truly, God gives his word to you, to anyone and everyone. It's not just for the Old Testament Israelites. He was lifted up on the cross that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You're part of that world. He died for you. Now there is also a special giving of Jesus' body in the sacrament. That's a little different thing than this bread of life that Jesus is talking about here. His body given in the sacrament is for those who can examine themselves and understand their sin and their need for a Savior. The body that he gives in the sacrament is for those to partake of together, who are in agreement and who trust the word of the Lord and correct each other with that word. Communion is a very visible expression of the body of Christ. But this bread of life that he's talking about here in John chapter 6, this bread of life is for anyone. It is God's desire that sinners hear him and believe and repent, have eternal life. That's why we're here today. Now, some may not be. It is within our terrible power, the power of our sinful nature, to refuse God's word. God is not going to force anyone to believe him or to love him. But I pray that you will hear and believe and trust him and be nourished by him. Today, we also gather to remember a man who was dear to us and to his wife. Jim Gregory's been gone now for some weeks, but truly, truly, I say to you just what Jesus said to him and to Kay, God would have you live forever. God provides you with the bread of life. Hear him. Believe him. Trust him. Know that he has forgiven you all your sins for the sake of his own Son and him crucified. Learn more about him. Jim and Kay would very much like to see you where they are now in heaven above, where there are no more tears. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever eats this bread of life has life eternal. This God says to you, believe it. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.